Welcome to the Gregory Neesmith Show, a special delivery of underdog stuff, a bunch of uns. The unbelievable, the underrated, the underreported, the unjust, the uninhibited, the unsaid. We get into a lot of the uns here. It's a special mix of culture, business, and personal stuff for underdogs. Every week to take you on that journey, you have your host, that's me, entrepreneur, consultant, certified coach, content creator, a bunch of other stuff. But when it's all said and done, I'm really into exploring how, as underdogs, do we rediscover our special stuff and how do we get our swagger back in business and life. A lot going on that sometimes knocks us off our game, and I'm always curious as to how we keep getting it back and how we keep that swagger so we can go out there and have the lives that we want, which may not be the lives that we have. Today's episode 78. We've done this 78 times. Today's episode, 2018 Front Street, 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, in fresh perspective. You know, I have been working on something called the 10 Swagger Back Commandments, which are turnaround tips for underdogs on how we rediscover our special stuff in business and in life. It's an underdog's perspective on turning things around. And these turnaround tips have worked for underdog professionals at Fortune 100 companies, at fast growth startups, with thriving side hustles. And these 10 swagger back commandments are really about how do we get re-energized and get back to growing again. At home and at work. And I'm into how do we blur the lines, right, between those two spaces, work and at home, because I really want us to be able to be who we are wherever we go, getting our curiosity back, our energy back, and our swagger back, so we can confidently go from the life we have, just in case that's not working for us, to go to the life we want. And the first of the Ten Commandments, Swagger Back Commandments, I always feel like Biggie's Ten Crack Commandments should be playing in the background, like instrumental or something like that. I have to figure out how to do that and get some copyright clearance or something. But anyway, the first commandment, one we'll talk about a lot today as we weave through what's going on in the news and the culture, is called change your address. Because a change in address could change your life. For real. All right. There's some things in life that I don't like to do, you don't like to do, we don't like to do. Going to the dentist. Raise your hand. Who hates going to the dentist? That would be me. Probably you too. The airport. Hate going to the airport. You got to get there hours ahead, time, security. Delays, weather, this, that. It's nerve-wracking. I hate going to the airport. I know you do too. Public speaking. Some people have reported that public speaking is one of the things they try to avoid at all costs. Don't like to do it. Pick somebody else. Don't pick me. I don't want to do any public speaking. That's probably you too. By the way, I do have something called the secret ingredient to public speaking, which we'll talk about in a future show to help folks get over that potential fear of not wanting to do public speaking. And of the list of things that you don't like to do, I don't like to do, we don't like to do, one that oftentimes rises to the top two is moving. Nobody likes to move. It's hard. What am I going to bring with me? What am I going to leave behind? And I'm just talking about furniture right now. We get a little deeper. A move can really be about some other things that you might take with you or leave behind. You're going to have to say goodbye to people. I don't know about you, but one of the challenging things in life is like how to say goodbye gracefully with honor. Like, peace, I'm out. Moving's hard. You got to say goodbye to people. Also, where are you going to move? If you live in the New York City area, you know, trying to get an apartment, or if you're fortunate enough to have the money and the means to, like, try to buy a place, market's moving fast, people paying over asking price, where you gonna go? It's a big decision. Then, you know, once you get wherever you gotta get to, you gotta build a new network of friends and neighbors. Moving's hard. Sure, changing address can change your life, but it's hard. There's new rituals. Where you live now, you know exactly what train to take to get to work. You know all the back roads if there's traffic if you're driving. What's that song from the sitcom? You wanna go where everybody knows your name. And they're always glad you came. Where you live now, you got a ritual. You go to your local grocery store. A local bar. You walk in, they say, hey, what's up? They know you. You got a flow there. It's hard to move. And even if it's best for you to move, you got loved ones saying, no, please stay. We don't want to lose you. We don't want you to move home. Moving's hard. But a change in address could change your life. Now, when we are fortunate enough to leave by choice, oftentimes we move for opportunity. I grew up in Philly. Shout out to the city of brotherly love. But 20 years ago, I can't believe it's been 20 years. 20 years ago this September 1998, I moved to Tarrytown, New York, small town outside of New York City, probably about 30 minutes north of Harlem where I live now. And I moved for opportunity, an opportunity to start my first ever job, a career in marketing and brand management at Kraft Foods, Fortune 100 company, moving for opportunity. So a lot of times, even though moving is hard, a lot of us have moved for job opportunity. For those who are parents, I've heard these stories from friends, from clients I've coached or consulted. Some people move for the opportunity to put their kids in better schools. For those who live in the New York City area, it costs a lot of money to live here. And some folks are moving for the opportunity just to have their cost of living go down so that they can be more, have more freedom with their money. Not only just live for today, but save for tomorrow. And what would you do for love? A lot of us have moved, even though moving's hard, to go be with a loved one. Maybe our spouse or partner lives in another city, and now there's the opportunity to go move to be with them, to live with them, and to start the family together that you always wanted, or just to be able to be in contact with each other every day as opposed to every other weekend. And those are all great reasons to move. Because a change in address can change your life. But some of us will never move. And sure, right now I'm talking about physically moving. And yeah, some of us will never move. We'll never move because we don't see a problem with where we live now. Or we don't see an opportunity worth moving to. And that's literally moving. But you know what we do here. I don't just want to talk about physically moving. I want to talk about metaphorically moving. Because mentally and emotionally, I don't know about you, but I've had some addresses that I probably should have moved from. Probably should have never even moved in. You know, that bad relationship, that bad business deal. Figuratively moved into a place and stayed there too long. And the truth is, all of us are on what I call 2018 Front Street, 2018 Front Street. That's your address. Because the truth is, all of us are on Front Street about something. Living at an address where it's either a problem if we stay there, or living at an address because we're not quite sure where to move to for a better opportunity. You know what I'm talking about. Let me know if you live on Front Street at your current job or the business that you're running, the brand that you're running. You tell the team and you tell yourself, oh, we're a stable business. You know, we're only declining about 1-2% a year. Stability. We're maintaining. Front Street. As the saying goes, if you're not growing, you're dying. And I know it sounds extreme, but guess what? You keep doing -2, 1% each year, and guess what? Eventually, you won't have a business. Front Street. Or you're paying the minimum on your thousands of dollars credit card debt every month. Front Street. You ain't getting out of debt that way. Actually, it's costing you even more money just paying the minimum on those thousands and thousands of dollars. Now, the truth is, it's tough. We all got some financial difficulties. That might be the best that you can do. But if you're saying to yourself that that's working and that's ideal, then that's Front Street. And, you know, we talk business. We talk life, too. I've coached folks. I've been in contact with people. Say stuff like, you know, me and my spouse, we haven't had sex in over a year, but, you know, everything's still good. We love each other. Everything's okay. Front Street! 2018 Front Street. And when we're talking politics, oh, everybody hates Donald Trump. His approval rating's in the 40s, sometimes the high 30s. That dude ain't getting reelected. I should probably register to vote. Maybe I live in a blue state. It'll be all right. That dude's unpopular. He ain't getting a second term. Front Street. And so today I want to talk about, not that there's anything wrong with you or me being on Front Street, because I'm on Front Street about some things, and I've been on Front Street about some things. But if we want to get our special stuff back, get our swagger back, the goal is to move. And oftentimes a move is triggered by, do we realize that where we live in right now isn't working, and or do we realize that there's a better opportunity if we pack up our bags and move from 2018 Front Street to, I don't know, someplace like Swaggerback Boulevard. I just made that up. But we'll, you get the point. We're moving from 2018 Front Street to someplace else. And so the question for the rest of today, for me to think about, for you to think about, for us to think about, what are you on Front Street about at work or at home? I get it. Moving's hard. But there might be some people that it's time to say goodbye to. There might be some new friends out there for you. There might be a new opportunity, like a job out there for you. There might be something better if you move. But I don't know about you. I never move unless I think that there's a problem. And so also we'll explore, how do you even figure out whether or not you're on Front Street? Because solving problems are hard. But you know what the hardest problem is to solve? The hardest problem I've ever had to solve are the ones that I didn't even know I had. Today's episode, 2018 Front Street, 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, Fresh Perspective. Because today, speaking of fresh perspectives, we're talking about the 10 Swaggerback Commandments, turnaround tips to rediscover our special stuff. in business and life. It's an underdog's perspective on turning things around. And the turnaround tips are based on success that underdog professionals have had at big time companies, fast growth startups, and thriving side hustles. The commandments have underdogs re-energized and growing again. Feels good to grow. I don't know about you, but I've been stuck before. And I'm always more energized when I'm unstuck than growing. Same is for business too, right? Businesses and brands get stuck too. Let's get our curiosity back, our purpose back, and our swagger back. Because summer 2018, I don't want to live on Front Street. I want to be in Swagger Back Boulevard, having the life I want instead of the life I have. And that's not all the life, right? But it's certain pockets. You might be doing the damn thing at home with your family, but struggling at work, or vice versa. So we're going to figure out, what are you on Front Street about? And then we'll also talk about how to change our address. Because moving is hard. And shout out to Nicole Renee, a.k.a. NRE. She's on the Facebook Live and she says that, by the way, and we talk about things that people fear or things that are hard. And I mentioned that people don't like to go to the dentist. People hate going to the airport. People don't like to move. Moving's hard. And Miss Nicole Renee reminds us that a lot of research has shown that people's number one fear is public speaking, and number two is death. You would think it might be the reverse, but hey, we're human. Those are the things that we have self-doubt about, fear about. And I also know that somewhere on that list, moving is hard for people too. Literally, and today we're also talking about metaphorically, moving is hard. There's some bad stuff going on at 2018 Front Street. And we get to change our address. You know, there's a couple ways that if you don't know you're on Front Street, because the hardest problem to solve is the problem we don't know we have. I'm going to stay at my job for 16 straight years if I don't realize that it's slowly eroding my energy, slowly eroding my authenticity, slowly eroding my self-expression. If I can't see it, if I can't feel it, well, then I'm going to keep going to work year after year after year. If you haven't had sex with your partner, and I've coached some people where they literally have been like sitting across from me talking about the challenges they're having in their life, but they'll say something like, well, we haven't had sex for a year, but we still love each other. Things are still all good. And there's often a strong human need for food and sex and intimacy. And so the person saying it may not even know that that isn't normal or that there's an opportunity for things to be different, but they don't even necessarily know that they have a problem. In business, Blockbuster didn't think that some random company called Netflix shipping CDs around, floppy disks to people. They were like, oh, so what? That don't matter to us. We Blockbuster. People come to us to rent movies. They were on Front Street. Didn't even know they had a problem until they had a problem. And then 13 years later, after Netflix started out its journey, Blockbuster actually didn't have any more problems because it was gone. And now we Netflixing and chilling instead of Blockbuster and building. And that's an example of the cost of not knowing whether or not there's a problem. Blockbuster was living on Front Street. It's an address you don't want to stay on very long. So how do you know if there's a problem or not? How do you know you're on Front Street? Well, last week, we talked about the howling dog story. And the short version of the howling dog story is, it's a fable. You know, I picked a story that had a dog because we do underdog stuff. you know, see what I did there. I know it's a little nerdy and corny, but bear with me. Just being me. And the Howling Dog story was this idea of I moved into a neighborhood and love my new place. You know, speaking of moving is hard. So I moved to a place. I moved. And for the first couple nights, then for weeks, and then for months on end, I kept hearing this dog just howling. I got to work on my howling dog impersonation. Note to self. And so there's this howling dog. And it keeps howling, howling. So I love my neighborhood. I like my place. Like, everything's all good, but the dog just keeps howling. So finally one day, I go across the street to my neighbor. His name's Henry. And he's chilling on the porch. And not too far away from him, I see a dog. And the dog is, woo, woo, woo. The dog's howling. I'm like, oh, snap, I found the dog that's been howling. It's that dog right there. And I'm like, yo, Henry, is that your dog, man? And Henry's like, yeah, that's my dog. And so I'm like, Henry, why is your dog howling? And then Henry takes a deep breath, sips on his coffee, looks over back at me, and he says, my dog is howling because it's sitting on a nail. And I'm like, all right, cool, got it. Makes sense. If you're sitting on a nail, you would probably howl. I would probably howl too. And so I said to Henry, a bit perplexed, as I see Henry chilling, I see the dog howling. I say, Henry, your dog sitting on a nail, been howling for a while now. Why won't he get up off the nail? And Henry takes a pause and a sip of his coffee again and says, the dog won't get up off the nail because the nail is not in deep enough. Stop me in my tracks. What are you howling about? What are you on Front Street about? I bring that story up again. We talked about it last week, but why do I bring it up again? Because there's oftentimes three ways that we can figure out whether or not we're on Front Street. And like I said, one of the hardest problems to solve is a problem that you don't think you have or a problem you don't know about. Blockbuster didn't solve a problem called Netflix because it didn't think Netflix was a problem. Some of y'all are out here and challenging relationships because you think that's the way it's supposed to be. You don't know you got a problem. And there's three ways to figure out whether or not we're on Front Street or not. Or at least three ways that I've used most of the time with myself or the people I've ended up coaching or consulting with. One is self-reflection. And so I bring up the howling dog example because oftentimes if we sit still long enough and reflect on what it's really like to be on Front Street on whatever that situation and circumstance, business deal or relationship, if we sit still long enough, one of the things we can start to think about is, what have I been howling about that I haven't decided to get up off the nail yet? Am I always talking about how I hate going into my job? Am I talking about how I wish I had a better relationship with my father? Take a little time for self-reflection. Oftentimes, some of the stuff we howling about and not doing anything about is where we're on Front Street. One of the other things I use is this thing called the Wheel of Life. It's one of the tools I got introduced to when I was at the Institute for Professional Excellence in Coaching, going on the path of becoming a certified business coach, certified life coach. And the Wheel of Life is cool. It takes the major parts of our life, like relationships, spirituality, our health, our finances, and literally it's like a wheel that has each of these parts of our life that we all have in common, right? They come to life in different ways, but we all have those parts of our life that happen. We all have finances. We all have relationships. We all have personal development. We all have careers. We have those things in common. And what the Wheel of Life allows us to do is, on a scale of 1 to 10, rate in that moment right now in our lives, how satisfied are we? And you'd be surprised if you take some time to do some self-reflection and literally start going through your wheel, your circle of life, and going, man, how satisfied am I with my family relationships? How satisfied am I with my career? How satisfied am I with my relationship to spirituality or religion? Self-reflection. And what you'll find out is likely some of those places in your life may not get a high score. And if they don't get a high score, and you haven't done anything about that thing or things yet, then the truth is you're on Front Street. And not in a, like, there's anything wrong with you. I'm on Front Street about things, or been on Front Street about them. But the goal is, once we realize that we're really there on Front Street, it's time to change our address, even though moving is hard. So self-reflection is one of the ways to realize that you're on Front Street and also start the journey of rediscovering your special stuff and getting your swagger back. The other is investigate. Dig deep into the situation you're in. Read up about it. Look at some case studies, folks that might be in similar situations as you. Do some investigating. You might find out that the situation you're in isn't the situation other people are in, and that there could be something better and something different. And the third way is get some feedback. I've been lucky that I've had some people in my life that were willing to tell me when they thought that I was running off track. And of course, I get to acknowledge that I was open to listening to them, but I'm not talking about that side of the equation right now. I'm talking about the fact that there were people who loved me enough to tell me when they thought things that I was doing to myself or to others wasn't working. In a professional setting, one of the ways we get feedback is through things like doing a survey. So if you're the leader or owner of a company or of a big team, you can do a survey and poll people and see, how are they really feeling about the culture? How are they really feeling about the business and about their roles? In our personal lives, we can actually go get professional support. You can talk to a coach, talk to a therapist. They can give you feedback about what's functioning, what's dysfunctional, how to have things turn out differently. And in our personal lives also, we all have it, right? There's that person where you actually avoid asking them questions like, well, what do you think about this business idea? Or what are your thoughts on my relationship with such and such? You avoid asking them the question because you feel like they're going to tell you an honest answer that you don't want to hear. And if you're in one of those situations where you know you got a friend or a coworker or someone where you're like, I should probably ask them their thoughts, but I ain't going to ask them because I don't want to hear their opinion, because their opinion is probably going to be right. And then that's actually a sure sign that you're probably on Front Street about that situation that you don't want to ask for that person's opinion on. So three ways to find out whether or not there is a problem: self-reflection, one, investigation, two, getting feedback, three. And then once you do those things, if you still stay around and stay at home in 2018 Front Street, then that's on you, and now you are really on Front Street because you know that there's a problem and you stay there, but it's time to move, and moving's hard, but we get to do it to get our swagger back. But we also literally have the address of 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. The People's House, White House. There's an invader in there right now. He's orange. It wouldn't be a Gregory Neesman show if we didn't talk a little bit of politics. No one man should have all this power. Did you hear the news? Anthony Kennedy, Supreme Court Justice, said, everybody, yo, I'm out. Peace out. Out of here. had enough. Anthony Kennedy, who is the longest serving member of the Supreme Court, is retiring. He has been the swing vote on many of the Supreme Court decisions, such as legalizing same-sex marriage and preserving Roe versus Wade. This has made him one of the most powerful men in America. If you think that it's kind of a big deal, who gets to pick the Supreme Court justices, which is the responsibility of the president, and then consent and confirmation comes from the Senate. If you believe that, you know, Supreme Court justices are kind of a big deal, but you didn't vote in the last presidential election, or you didn't vote in the last statewide Senate elections in your state, then you're on Front Street. You like that howling dog. Guess the nail wasn't in deep enough for you prior to Neil Gorsuch and now a soon-to-be replacement from Anthony Kennedy that will come from President Donald Trump. Kennedy is 82 years old and the 14th longest serving justice in the court's history. He was around for a long time. With Kennedy gone, the court's decisions on things like campaign finance and corruption, voting cases and gun rights are expected to kind of be status quo. Kind of is what it's been, will be what it's been. However, some things might change. You know, it's been odd to me. To be very clear, right? I'm not a Supreme Court expert here. And most people aren't. So I know I'm not alone in that. But it is odd to me that this guy Kennedy's retiring. They're like, he's the swing vote. And there's 9 Supreme Court justices. So they're like 4 people who normally lean what's considered to be aligned with how Republicans see the world. And there's 4 justices now, not including this guy Kennedy, that kind of lean towards how Democrats see the world, supposedly. And I'm thinking to myself, I guess when I was growing up, these phrases like justice is blind and we interpret the law as it's written and the scales of justice should be balanced. All that stuff just feels like lies now that I'm a little older and have a fresh perspective, because I didn't think we were supposed to be nominating people to the courts that it was so easily identifiable what party they're aligned with. We got parties. Parties in the executive branch and parties in Congress. I thought the third branch was supposed to be objective and not partisan. But maybe that was just wishful thinking and being misinformed. Maybe I was on Front Street. But now I got fresh perspective. So what is going to change? Because I don't want you on Front Street about this. It's a big deal. And if you think it's a big deal about who's on the Supreme Court and you're not going to vote in your midterm elections, especially if there's a senator on the ballot in November 2018 because the Senate gets to confirm who the president picks as the Supreme Court justice. If you plan to sit out the 2020 presidential elections, yet you think or believe that Supreme Court nominees are a big deal and they make a difference, then you're on Front Street. Knowing that there's a problem, but not doing anything about it, fronting. The court without Kennedy, who's the swing vote currently, who's about to be out, it could mean that a replacement that is more like the other conservative judges or more like the most recent appointee, Neil Gorsuch, could mean that there'd be 5 Neil Gorsuches-like folks. I'm not even going to run through all the names, but there'll be 5-4 for most decisions, would lean what some would call Republican, some would call conservative. I think the nomenclature is a little odd as to what you call them, but let's just say there'll be folks that now majority on the court lean towards the right and less that lean towards the left. And so what that can mean is Roe versus Wade could be overturned. The courts would potentially be rejecting challenges to capital punishment and solitary confinement. The court going forward would likely rule in favor of religious challenges to anti-discrimination law and maybe reverse some past Supreme Court rulings on gay rights. And a future court with this soon to be new justice that's replacing Kennedy or will replace Kennedy could also potentially bar government actions from engaging in explicit race-based affirmative action and even more stuff. What's the dude in the People's House been saying about this?
Begin our search for a new justice of the United States Supreme Court that will begin immediately. And hopefully we're going to pick somebody who will be as outstanding. We have to pick a great one. We have to pick one that's going to be there for 40 years, 45 years. We need intellect. We need so many things to go. You know, there's so many elements go into the making of a great justice of the Supreme Court. You got to hit every one of them.
I guess there's the word is that Donald Trump's going to announce Anthony Kennedy's replacement on July 9th, and that the Senate will quickly move to vote on that person before the midterm elections. If that sounds a little uncivil to you, and I use that purposely because for the past couple weeks, people have been throwing around this word civility like it matters. I think anybody spending time talking about civility is wasting their time. I think the discussion should almost always be about purpose, strategy, and tactics. Because I don't think Money Mitch McConnell was using civility when they didn't vote for Merrick Garland prior to the 2016 presidential elections. I don't think that was about civility. It was about purpose, strategy, and tactics. I don't think the Senate got rid of the filibuster rule or needing 60 votes for Supreme Court justice for the move they did or called the nuclear option. I don't even know why they use nuclear as a term there. I don't like talking about nuclear or anything, but the Republicans said instead of 60 votes to approve a Supreme Court justice, we're going to do 50. I don't think that was about civility. I think that was about purpose, strategy, and tactics. And we got an election about to come up right now, and I'm sure civility would say that we will wait until the election is over in November, and then we will vote for the next Supreme Court justice to replace Anthony Kennedy. That would be, I guess, civility. But while Democrats are talking about civility, Republicans are talking about purpose, strategy, and tactics.
The Senate stands ready to fulfill its constitutional role by offering advice and consent on President Trump's nominee to fill this vacancy. We will vote to confirm Justice Kennedy's successor this fall. It's imperative that the president's nominee be considered fairly and not subjected to personal attacks. Thus far, President Trump's judicial nominations have reflected a keen understanding of the vital role that judges play in our constitutional order. Judges must interpret the law fairly and apply it even-handedly. Judicial decisions must not flow from judges' personal philosophies or preferences, but from an honest assessment of the words and actions.
If you think today's politics is about Maxine Waters and throwing Sarah Huckabee Sanders out of restaurants and Donald Trump saying he could shoot somebody in the middle of Times Square and it'd be okay, if you think today's politics is about we need civility, you're on Front Street. We need purpose, strategy, and tactics. You may not like Money Mitch McConnell, but I can appreciate that he's not worried about civility. He's worried about living out the Republicans' pursuit of conservatism, gerrymandering districts, for elections, getting the court to be more representative of his ideology. Folks talking about civility, the Republicans seem to be talking about purpose, strategy, and tactics. Talking about civility, it's Front Street. I want to get my swagger back. I want to get my country back. I don't want to talk about civility. And meanwhile, while we're talking about civility, the vacancy on the court because of Anthony Kennedy retiring, who was actually appointed years ago by a Republican president, I believe it was Ronald Reagan, he'll get to be replaced by Republican President Donald Trump. And it could really shift how things go in our country and at the Supreme Court. Abortion. Losing Kennedy could mean that the court could potentially overturn Roe versus Wade, which has to do with whether or not abortion can be legal nationwide, or overturning Roe versus Wade would likely give the power back to the states to decide. And then abortion might be a state by state thing instead of a nationwide thing. We've talked mass incarceration a lot over the past couple weeks. We've had the game show host of Donald Trump and the reality star of Kim Kardashian taking photo ops. Also getting Marie Johnson clemency, pardon, out of jail. But, you know, it to me it was a one-off instead of letting go a lot of people who were like Miss Johnson. You know, kudos to get one out, but I want to get all out that have similar cases as hers. But, you know, the prison system, police, and mass incarceration is a big deal, and this new justice that's likely to replace Anthony Kennedy could mean that prisons and the death penalty in America could be, you know, more reinforced. Solitary confinement could be back in play again. Also, affirmative action could be in jeopardy as a result. Maybe something like doing away with public affirmative action programs might happen. If you think the legacy of slavery and Jim Crow and mass incarceration are not still a big deal, if you think that racism's only in the South at best, you're on Front Street. We can't get our swagger back and rediscover our special stuff if you're on Front Street about that. And the reason why change of address can change your life is the first commandment of the 10 Swagger Back Commandments, is because if we don't know what the problem is or don't know that we have a problem, then that means we can't go solve it. If we don't go solve it, that means we're not going to be able to get re-energized again. We can't grow again. We can't get things turned around, because we don't turn around things that we don't think that there's a problem. Shoot, sometimes we don't even turn around things that we do think are a problem. That's what the Howling Dog story is about. But it's even harder to solve a problem if we don't think we have one. Gay rights in America will be in jeopardy. I mean, no one man should have all this power, or woman. It's reported that two of the five leading candidates to replace Anthony Kennedy on Donald Trump's short list are women. So no one man or woman should have all this power, but you're on Front Street if you don't think that this next justice will have a lot of power. Underdogs. Today's episode 78. We've been talking about fronting Pennsylvania Ave and Fresh Perspective. What are you fronting about? Part of the 10 Swagger Back Commandments is changing your address or change your life, literally and figuratively. But moving's hard. I've fronted about some things in my life. I'm sure I'm fronting about some things in my life right now. And sometimes we're on Front Street for a couple reasons. Sometimes we're on Front Street because we literally don't know that there's a problem. One of the hardest problems to solve is the problem you don't even know you have. And then some of us are on Front Street because we're just in a bad situation and unsure of how to change it. But living on Front Street for too long has consequences. In the business world, one of my favorite examples is Netflixing and chilling versus Blockbuster and building. You stay on Front Street for too long and be like, yeah, you know, I'm Blockbuster. I'm big and bad. I don't care about people mailing DVDs around the country. Sounds like a silly idea. Return them whenever you want. That sounds crazy. Oh, yeah, live stream some stuff. I don't even know how many people got broadband. People love coming to my stores and buying popcorn and looking through all the cases of movies, picking them up and taking them home. People love Blockbuster. Stay on Front Street about your competition. And then 13 years later after Netflix launch, you can be like Blockbuster and gone. Front Street has consequences. You can go to that job day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, and be like, you hate it, you don't like it. It's frustrating, it's heavy, it takes your energy from you, you don't feel self-expressed. You can do that. And then it has an impact on your health, on your relationships, on your pocketbook or your wallet. Living on Front Street has consequences. It's hard to get our swagger back unless we change our address from 2018 Front Street to what I like to call Swagger Back Boulevard. I just made that up in the moment, but it sounds good. Why not? Let's move to Swagger Back Boulevard. Some of y'all are on Front Street about this recent Supreme Court justice opening. Anthony Kennedy, he's out of here. He's retiring. He's like, yo, I had enough. Time for me to chill out. Go spend some time with my family and friends. Let Donald Trump figure out who to replace me. Some of y'all on Front Street didn't vote in your last Senate elections, didn't vote in the last presidential election, but yet you telling me you care about and worried about this next Supreme Court pick, but didn't do any of those things. You're on Front Street. This is going to be a big deal. This could impact a lot of things. Or I've heard a lot of people say, Donald Trump's unpopular. There's no way he'll be elected to a second term. We only got to put up with him for 2 more years or so. And then we go through some of the ways you can tell whether or not you're on Front Street. One of them is self-reflection. One of them is getting feedback from others. The other is doing some investigating. And so if we do that last one, some investigating, you go inside the numbers and you realize Donald Trump is unpopular, but maybe not as unpopular as you think. Approval rating in the 40s. Well, just a few weeks ago, he had his highest approval rating since he's been in office of like 45%, which shows he has the ability to go up somewhat. Then he had this whole zero tolerance thing, separating families at the border. It dipped a little. But who knows? If he could somehow not do things that are stupid, things that are anti-American, things that are bringing terror to children and their families, he might be able to keep it in the mid to upper 40s. And then all of a sudden he's got a shot. And while he may be unpopular to America in total, I bet you didn't know that he has an 87%+ approval rating from Republicans. They love him. I think a lot of us are on Front Street about whether or not Donald Trump can get a second term. 87%+ approval by Republicans. Had his highest approval rating in June of 45%. And oh, by the way, you remember President Barack Obama during his first term? A lot of Republicans saying we're going to make him a one-term president. and about how there were a lot of forces going against him, and there's probably, it's going to be tough for him to win re-election. And he did. You remember George Bush? The younger one. Remember, he didn't even win the popular vote at the start of this century. Got some help from a hanging chad in the Florida Supreme Court. Talk about being unpopular in your first term. He didn't even win the popular vote. Oh, what happened to him? Oh, he got reelected. Bill Clinton. They used to call him the first black president until we got a real first black president. You know, looking back on it, so disrespectful that that was one of his nicknames in the culture. But I digress. Bill Clinton got some help from Ross Perot, one of the most popular third-party candidates to ever run in a modern election, who probably took some votes from the older Bush. Bill Clinton, I believe, won with less than 50% of the vote. Known for allegations of sexual harassment and sexual assault. Also had the case with Monica Lewinsky. Also the perjury and impeachment. Not very popular. Oh, yeah. He got a second term, too. Ronald Reagan was very popular back then. Got a second term, too. So I'm just saying, you're on Front Street right now if you don't think Donald Trump can get a second term. What else are you on Front Street about? At home or at work or in your community? Vegas seems to think that Donald Trump's got a shot. I'm a big sports fan, and oftentimes when folks are trying to see where the momentum is or where's their energy, what can happen, sometimes we look to Vegas. We look for the betting odds to see what they think could happen. What are the odds? Who's the favorites? Who's getting even money, as they say? For all those who may think that Donald Trump's only going to be a one-term president, he's not very popular, and there's no way we'll elect a game show, former game show host to a second term. Just so you know, according to betonline.org, out of 46 potential options to be president in 2020, Donald Trump is currently the favorite. The front runner with 7-4 odds to be the president of the United States after November 2020. Betting may not be a predictor or a prophet of what's to come, but they do offer interesting insight into public perception. And what those odds say is that there's even money in a lot of folks who believe that Donald Trump can get reelected and at this point should be the favorite to be reelected. So if you haven't registered to vote, if you're not planning to participate in the elections in November of this year and in 2020, but yet you mad about things, it's natural. I get it. I've had my moments of checking in and checking out of this whole political process. But if we just keep howling about stuff and don't quote unquote get up off the nail, then we're going to be on Front Street. And I don't want us to be fronting about the future of our country. Three ways to know whether or not you're on Front Street about something. One, self-reflection. One of my favorite tools is called the Wheel of Life. If you'd like to get access to it, it's a one-page document. It has all the different areas of our life, like spirituality, self-development, career, finances, relationships, health. And we get to rate on a scale of 1 to 10 how satisfied we are in those areas of our life. And then oftentimes you can look and see which areas of your life the score is low. That self-reflection says, okay, maybe there's a challenge here. I'm not doing anything about it right now, so I'm on Front Street. I want to actually dedicate time to figuring out what the problem is and then starting to figure out where I can move to and leave there and get that satisfaction up. If you want a copy of that, go to GregoryNeesmith.com, and there's a page that says contact me. Say you want the Wheel of Life because you want to do some self-reflection and you want to get up off Front Street, and I'll send that to you. Complimentary. This summer we all get to get our swagger back, especially underdogs out there. The second way to realize whether or not you're on Front Street and there's a problem is investigate. Go Google some stuff. Read some books. Watch some YouTube videos. Dig a little deeper on your situation, or at least people who may be in like situations as you. Like, I was on Front Street about Donald Trump getting reelected. I'm like, oh, there's no way this dude's going to get reelected. He's unpopular. Approval rating in the 40s, sometimes the 30s. And then I dug a little deeper and saw that his approval rating amongst Republicans is north of 85%. Republicans love him. So that made me change my perspective. I'm like, oh, this dude's not to be underrated, because he's got a strong foundation of Republican support. If the economy gets a little bit better, and if he somehow doesn't make as many silly blunders as he does, it's going to be a tough race in 2020, no matter who's running against him. Because also, once you realize you're on Front Street, you start to move differently. No pun intended. And then you also move to Swagger Back Boulevard. And lastly, get feedback. If you're running a company, feedback can mean you issue a survey to your employees, to your team. Personally, you at work can get feedback. They call it 360, where you get feedback from those who work with you, those who work for you, and those you may work for, and get a full view of how they perceive you and what you're doing well and what you could be doing differently and what you should stop doing and start doing. You might find out that there's a problem or a gap someplace, and then you can figure that out, move from Front Street, not doing anything about it, to doing something about it. Those are some of the ways that we start to figure out if and what is the problem at our current address. And then we get to start the journey over the next 9 steps of the Swagger Back Commandments to move. Get our energy back. Get our purpose back. Get our swagger back. And with that, I'd like to close out by saying a few thank yous. Thank yous. Thankful. I'm thankful, and I want to say some thank yous. Shout out to all the folks who were listening on their radio dials while out and about in Harlem and New York City today on 90.3 FM. Appreciate you. And all the various other ways, TuneIn app, searching WHCR, all that good stuff. Thank you for going on the journey. And if you miss any of today's live show, podcast of the best of today's episode will be available on GregoryNeesmith.com and popular podcast platforms like Stitcher, Google Play, Podomatic, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. Just search Gregory Neesmith. Shout out to my producer, Megan, for making sure I was ready to rock and roll today. Appreciate you. And shout out to Kayla, who puts the video and audio podcast stuff together to make me look and sound good. And I appreciate that, too. With that, I will leave you with my favorite quote. If you know it, say it along with me. I always like it when I get to say something out loud or call and response. But say it along with me if you know it. If you're not, here it is. Leave you with my favorite quote and a closing thought that's always true. Because we are special, each and every one of us. So I'll leave you with my favorite quote. Underdogs, can't nobody do it. And I mean nobody. Can't nobody do it like you do it. Nobody. Peace.